Then welcome to the Ask Me call with Speaker Pelosi and frontline public service workers on the urgent need for the state and local aid. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, July 9th, 2020. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ask Me President Lee Saunders. Please go ahead.
Thank you, moderator, and good afternoon and welcome to this call, everyone. I'm Lee Saunders, president of Ask Me, a union of 1.4 million public service workers who have proved their mettle over the last several months. As the nation has coped with a public health crisis, the likes of which we haven't experienced in our lifetimes. On the line today, we have three Ask Me members who have stood on the front lines of this pandemic, continuing to do their work with courage and compassion, putting the health and safety of their communities first. We're also joined by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, a good friend, Nancy Pelosi, a leader who has always had the back of public service workers, who understands what we do and why it's so important. Since the first COVID cases were reported earlier this year, she has stood out for her strength and resolve in helping the nation meet this unprecedented challenge. As coronavirus cases continue to spike with no end in sight to this crisis, we need AFSCME members on the job more than ever. The demand for public services is more urgent than ever. But with the economy thrown into a state of chaos, with the tax base eroding and revenue drying up, state and local governments are confronting devastating, historic budget shortfalls. Many have already resorted to layoffs and to furloughs of public service workers, the very folks who have been the frontline heroes of this crisis, who have led the nation's response and recovery efforts. The economy has hemorrhaged 1.6 million public sector jobs in the last few months. Just for a little perspective, that's three times more than what we lost during the entire Great Recession a dozen years ago. We'll remain on the chopping block unless Congress comes through with a robust package of aid, at least $1 trillion worth, to states, cities, and towns across the country. As usual, Speaker Pelosi and her caucus delivered right away, passing a bill called the HEROES Act back in May. But on the other side of the Capitol, nothing but crickets. For months now, the U.S. Senate has turned the other way, refusing to see or acknowledge the pain our communities are experiencing. And now, this week and next, they've skipped town for a midsummer vacation instead of buckling down and doing their jobs. So while senators are getting a little rest and relaxation, public service workers are getting pink slips. The stakes are high. This federal assistance will allow us to maintain the essential public services that are the lifeblood of our communities. It will keep the economy from slipping into a depression. It is critical to defeating the pandemic and returning to normal life in our country. Everything that matters in our communities hangs in the balance right now. Without this aid, if the Senate refuses to act, cities and towns nationwide will have more broken streetlights and trash piling up in the streets, dirtier water coming out of the tap, and longer emergency response times when you dial 911. It will mean fewer hospital workers to handle a surge in coronavirus patients. It will mean our schools don't have the resources to properly educate our kids. Public service workers, the frontliners themselves, are organizing and mobilizing for federal aid. AFSCME members have generated 60,000 phone calls and letters to Congress, and that number is growing by the thousands every week. But we're hardly the only ones. An assistance package totaling at least $1 trillion is broadly and overwhelmingly popular, with 84% of people in favor. Leading experts on the left and right have come together to say that this is an economic imperative, with each dollar of aid generating $1.70 in economic activity. Governors and mayors of both parties have lobbied aggressively for it. So has virtually every nonpartisan association of state and local elected officials. Even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is on board. This shouldn't be divisive or controversial. This isn't about red and blue. It's about right and wrong. Public service workers keep answering the call every single day, stopping at nothing to get the job done at the most difficult possible time. When they get back from their vacation, senators need to get their jobs done and fund the front lines. With that, let me turn it over to our special guest, a great ally and friend, someone who shares our values, believes in our cause, and fights in the trenches with us every single day. Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi.
Thank you very much, Mr. President Saunders, and for your kind words, but more importantly, for your great leadership. You, every day, you're there for America's working families, relentless, persistent, full of ideas, and really making a big difference. Now, I do want to say that you've said so much already about the necessity of passing the HEROES Act. I want to, as we say in Congress, associate myself with your remarks. But I do want to say, in addition, how what an honor it is to be on this call with you and to be with Tanisha Woods, a congressional officer from Texas. She does her job in such an important way and yet has to goes home to her family. And thank you for your courage, Tanisha. Renee Sanchez, a trauma operating room technician in Florida. Renee comes from a family of public service, family in the military, and now he continuing in this way, and again, risking his life. Keith Lowry, paramedic serving rural communities in northern Arizona. Thank you, Keith, for being with us and for bringing your report that we look forward to hearing from. Mr. President Saunders is a titan in the fight for working people. And the 1.4 million members of AFSCME, we thank you, Mr. Saunders, and your members for your heroic leadership, especially Tanisha, Renee, and Keith this afternoon. The statistics are staggering in this coronavirus, but nothing is more eloquent than the individual stories. I always say we're not worthy of praising our heroes. Our heroes are online with us now and part of this call and just part of this effort. We're not worthy of praising our health heroes and frontline workers until we do everything possible to support them. We must fund the front line. That's why we called our legislation the HEROES Act, because it's about the heroes. It's about the work they do, and it's about the needs they have, and it's about the urgency in which we must act. Because months of this into this crisis, the coronavirus is spiraling further out of control. Cases are soaring to a new daily record. More than 3 million are sick. Over 130 million have tragically died, and tens of millions have lost their jobs. And yet the president still refuses to embrace science, the facts, and reality. This week, dozens of former government scientists and public health officials who served in both Republican and Democratic administrations issued a letter. In part, it said, "Sidelining science has already cost lives, imperiled the safety of our loved ones, compromised our ability to safely reopen our businesses, schools, and places of worship, and endangered the health of our democracy itself." The White House's failed response also means that you are forced to risk your lives as you work to protect lives, and now you are could lose your jobs as well. And just think of that. You, Tanisha, Renee, Keith, and others, risking your lives to save lives, and now you could lose your job doing that. President Saunders said, the Senate must act immediately and pass the HEROES Act, which passed the House in May, to support you, our heroes, for whom the bill is named, again, who risk your lives to save lives. I keep repeating that because people should know. To crush the virus with testing, tracing, and treatment needed to reopen safely. Honor our heroes, open our economy with testing, tracing, and treatment. And three, to put money in the pockets of American families who are struggling to make rent, pay the bills, and stay above water. As the state and local government have said in their letter, state and local governments purchase goods and services which add to the nation's output, and in last year purchases accounted for 11% of the GDP, that which was spent by state and local government. I say, add to that meeting the needs of America's working families, putting money into their pockets, also is a stimulus because people have to meet their needs, purchase things, have consumer confidence, buy things, inject demand into the economy, again, creating jobs. All of the elements in the HEROES Act were supported in the four previous COVID bills. I say that because everybody says, well, it's partisan. No, it's not partisan. All of the provisions in the bill are bipartisan, including support for funding the frontliners. We've had this now, not as much as we have now, but we've had it. There's only one difference in our bill, never accepted in previous bills. Our bill has a strong OSHA provision to protect our workers. And in doing so, we protect our workers, we protect their employers, and we protect customers. So across the country, mayors and governors, as President Saunders indicated, both Democrats and Republicans, our county executives, you name it, we have letters from every possible organization, from AFSCME to Wyoming County Commissioners Association, Wyoming Association of Municipalities. Just think of the, shall we say, territory covered philosophically as well as geographically. And in that letter, as the governor, it's National Governors Association, National League of Cities, Conference of Mayors, more than 170 municipal groups, trade associations, labor unions, and businesses wrote in June. They said, months have gone by and our communities continue to suffer. If the Senate fails to act immediately to support state and local governments, our nation's recovery from the pandemic-induced recession will suffer and millions of Americans will needlessly be harmed. That's a letter from mayors and governors, et cetera, calling for support to keep our workers safe and our people safe and employed. Yet McConnell says, let's just pause. His idea of action liability protection for businesses that fail to keep workers safe. How can he say to you, our heroes, if you get sick or lose your job on the front line, that's too bad? In other words, you have to go to work. We want you all to go to work, but we're not giving you the protection you need if you get sick. The overwhelming majority of the American people, nearly 85%, stand with you in demanding more funding for state and local government. Together, Democrats and the American people will fight to protect our heroes' lives and livelihoods and the life of our democracy as we defeat this virus and we end this crisis. I'm just so honored again to be with Tanisha, Renee, and Keith, and I know we're all honored to be with you, Mr. President. Thank you for your leadership, on your ongoing leadership right up until this minute. So thank you so much.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Renee Sanchez. I'm a trauma operating room technician at Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami, Florida. I want to thank you so much for having me on this call today. I'm a trauma room operating technician with more than 20 years of experience at one of the largest public hospitals in America in the biggest cities. Needless to say, the pace, the intensity, the high stakes of this job is why I kept doing it. I've seen a lot at Jackson Memorial here in Miami, but there's nothing like the coronavirus. Today I'm scared, and so are my coworkers. We are scared for our lives. We are scared of catching it, of taking it home to our families. We are scared that even if we survive the virus, our livelihoods are still at risk because we may be thanked with a pink slip. That is why we thank Speaker Pelosi for passing more funding for frontline workers like us. And we are calling on Senator McConnell to finally work with her to do so in the Senate, because the path he has chosen of waiting on some economic numbers to come back is literally killing our families and friends. At Jackson Hospital, the surge of COVID cases has caused us to cancel elective surgeries again. And we had to do that earlier this year, it caused a budget shortfall of tens of millions, and we were looking at 40% pay cuts through furloughs. Thanks to our efforts of a strong union voice and hard work with our community, we're able to reverse those for now. I invite any elected official to come to work the night shift. Find out what it's like to be covered in sweat after handling 10 or even 16 patients on ventilators. See how your coworkers huddle together over short breaks of ginger tea to stave off hunger because you are afraid of touching food once you put your PPE on. Or even just now, the fear of walking into the hospital in normal clothing, unprotected, until you reach your work area and shift nurse gives you one of the N95 masks that you will wear for the whole day, even though pre-COVID guidelines said that those masks should be replaced every 4 hours. We feel slighted. We feel forgotten because we are doing this every day without hazard pay, without the number of staff we need to actually do the job, and the uncertainty of how long we will even have to be doing this job due to budget cuts. You do my job for a week and then tell me if the Senate should keep waiting to pass more aid for state and local governments that support hospitals like Jackson. We need all hands on deck. We can't wait. I would just also like to add, in memoriam, one of our coworkers in our line of work, a radiologist tech by the name of Devin Harris, has died from this disease. A trauma nurse by the name of Sally Yegan has died from this disease, and a physician, Dr. Luis Caldera-Nerez, has died from the disease. People are dying, and we're scared. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Tanisha Woods, and I'm a corrections officer at the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, Dr. Lane Murray Unit, a women's prison in Gatesville, Texas. The past few months have been tough for our facility. We are concerned that it could get even worse as cases in Texas and across the country surge. We have taken more extreme prevention measures to protect ourselves and the offenders as COVID-19 will continue to threaten our communities longer than many of us expected. All visitation is canceled. We are also spacing out how many people are eating in the meal hall. Typically, we would have as many as 150 people in the hall at once. With the new rules, the number of offenders that can sit at the table at lunch has decreased from 12 to 4, and this has increased lunch from 1 hour and 30 minutes to roughly 4 hours on certain days. We also must vigorously disinfect tables and touch points after each sitting. To do our jobs, though, we must still be in close proximity with the offenders. That means to keep everyone safe, staff must make sure that we're practicing proper hygiene and staying home if we're feeling sick. With these measures in place, we simply cannot afford any cuts in funding our personnel. To be able to protect everyone in the prison, both staff and offenders need to be properly resourced to stay safe and healthy. It's not only on the state to make sure we have enough gloves, masks, soaps, and cleaning supplies, but we need the federal government to step up and provide the necessary direct funding we need to maintain services and keep public service workers who are leading the fight against this virus on the job. Additionally, at the federal level, the president has continuously tried to downplay the threat of COVID-19. Meanwhile, my entire community is shut down. It is my duty to maintain safety and security within my unit. But I cannot do that if I don't have the proper information and resources. We need the Senate to do its job to keep us safe and provide $1 trillion in aid to our states, cities, and towns. The prospect of cuts and layoffs due to the budget shortfalls is contributing to an atmosphere of concern and anxiety. We must maintain essential service and protect public service workers. We need steady leadership to get through this. Speaker Pelosi and the House have stepped up, but now we need the Senate to do their job and fund the front lines now. Thank you.
Hello, and thank you for having me on this call. Thank you, Speaker Pelosi, for listening to our concerns today. My name is Keith Lowry, and I'm a proud member of Ask Me Local 2960. I'm also a paramedic serving in northern Arizona. We cover the northern end of Phoenix all the way up to the Grand Canyon, and these are some of Arizona's most rural communities. Over the past 2 weeks, we have seen a tremendous spike in the number of potential coronavirus cases that we are responding to. We are now transporting COVID-19 patients on a daily basis from smaller rural hospitals to larger hospitals with increasingly limited ICU capacity. My coworkers and I are taking our jobs very seriously. When this pandemic began, we had coworkers who volunteered to be on the FEMA emergency response team and helped respond to cases in New York. Most came back but there were some who died while trying to contain this virus and save lives. If we're going to beat this pandemic and safely reopen the economy, we need the federal government to provide desperately needed $1 trillion in funding to states, cities, towns, and schools. We will never be able to control the coronavirus if first responders don't have the PPE they need to stay safe on the job. And we won't be able to fight this virus if we lay off and furlough first responders, which happened in Maricopa County before we saw cases spike. Without the aid, the cuts and layoffs will come at a time when demand for life-saving services is skyrocketing. My families of the first responders I work with have had their incomes cut in half because their spouses have lost work. Further cuts to emergency response would have a devastating impact for families like mine and would also hurt our local economy, which is already struggling. State and local governments also need the resources to expand testing and contact tracing. There is a lack of available rapid testing across the state, which makes it hard to identify whether someone has coronavirus and needs to stop going to work. We're at a point where many can't afford to lose out on a paycheck, and they're continuing to work and spread the virus in the 4 to 5 day period it takes to get their test results. It can also take days to even get an appointment to get tested. Testing also still isn't available for frontline workers unless we are symptomatic. I'm concerned that this lack of full testing is hiding how many cases are out there and that people are continuing to spread this virus unknowingly. At least once a day, I'll transport a patient who is critically ill because they can't tell me that the person has tested positive for COVID-19 because they don't have the rapid testing. Nurses, firefighters, sanitation workers, and other public service workers are interfacing with the public every day and providing the essential services that sustain our communities. Additional funding is needed to make sure that we keep important workers on the job and so that we can expand testing and contact tracing so we can get a hold on this virus. I thank the House Speaker Pelosi for taking decisive action, and it's time that the Senate do the same. We need a bold investment in public services. We have a $1 trillion proposal that has been sitting on the desk on the Senate for far too long. Our communities can't wait any longer. Thank you for taking my comments.
Well, thank you, Renee and Tanisha and Keith, for telling your stories. Operator, will you open up the lines for questions, please?
Certainly. If you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. Once again, to register a phone question, it is the 1 followed by the 4. One moment, please, for the first question. And our first question comes from the line of Liz Brown-Kaiser with NBC News. Please proceed with your question.
Hi there. This is Liz with NBC News. Thank you all for doing this. My question is for Speaker Pelosi. I was wondering if you could just update all of us on the status of your conversation with GOP leadership and how you're all making headway in trying to get the HEROES Act passed, make a bipartisan agreement here. It's Asha.
Thank you so much for your question. There's an inevitability to this legislation. It has to happen. State and local governments had to balance their budgets by the end of June, and now we've gone past that deadline, but we haven't gone past the need. Within the HEROES Act, we have what Renee was just talking about. We have the testing, tracing, treating, et cetera, that is being done by our heroes who are in the first tranche. The second tranche is open our economy, testing, tracing, and all the PPP and all that goes with that. And the third tranche relates to unemployment insurance and direct payments to people. Our purpose of the call today is to talk about the essential need for us to do state and local government. However, the whole bill has certain deadlines, certain urgency, and public sentiment is just mounting so President Saunders mentioned the letter from the National Government Association, National Association of Counties. The list goes on and on, the United States Conference of Mayors, the Council of State Governments, and then it's every, like, business organizations, unions, as well as civic organizations and the rest, in a bipartisan way, are weighing in. So they, the Republicans in the Senate, know that a pause, it cannot last any longer. And just the Lincoln said public sentiment is everything. With it, you can accomplish almost anything. Without it, practically nothing. And public sentiment is overwhelmingly in favor of honoring our heroes, state and local, opening our economy and our schools, testing, tracing, treating, and putting money in the pockets of the American people. So some of the overtures that we have are from individual senators who are saying, in the bill, I hope you have this or I hope you have that, so they know it has a certain inevitability. The White House is saying $1 trillion. Well, we need $1 trillion just for state and local. We know that $1 trillion for money in the pockets of the American people, unemployment insurance and direct payments. And we need several hundred billion dollars for the testing, tracing, treating. So $1 trillion doesn't do it for us. But we can negotiate from there. But they, you know, they went from never, no, we're not doing anything, to $1 trillion, but not in June. We'll do it in July. So they see the inevitability of it. And we feel very confident that we'll have a strong bill, but it has to be, but it has to be soon. And that's why I'm so pleased that President Saunders initiated this call, so that we could hear from the really important people, from Tanisha and Frenay and from Keith, the on the ground, from the front lines. They're in the front line of all of this. How can we expect them to risk their lives, the health of their families, and the rest when we're not even respecting them with a certainty of their jobs? As I say, we lose all credibility to say thank you to them or to honor them unless we're ready to fund the front lines. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Nick Balassi with JTN News. Please proceed.
Thank you for taking the question. Madam Speaker, I read your statement reacting to the Supreme Court decision on President Trump's tax returns. And given that you're third in line to the presidency, will you release your tax returns going at some point in the near future?
Well, I'm actually second in line. And when and if I decide to run for president, I will most certainly release my tax returns. But that's but the fact is, I wish the rest of the calls will extend the courtesy to Tanisha, Renee, and Keith, and certainly President Saunders, and focus on the issue at hand.
As a reminder, to register a question, it is the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. And our next question comes from the line of Christina Jewett with Kaiser Health News. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, this is Christina Jewett, and I was hoping to ask Speaker Pelosi or President Saunders if you could speak to the importance of an emergency temporary OSHA standard in helping those frontline workers.
Nancy, why don't you go first and then I'll follow it up.
Well, in our legislation, the one piece of the bill that has not been supported by the Republicans up until now is our OSHA standard. This is very, very important. Again, I'm sure Keith and Renee and Tanisha, they can tell you stories about how important it is for our frontline workers to have the PPP that they need, the distancing that they need, the common sense that's needed to keep our workers safe. We've tried this for, we've had 4 COVID-19 bills already, 4, all bipartisan. From the start, we've tried to get this OSHA standard in there, but they have resisted it. Instead, they're saying, well, let's just give immunity or no liability for the employer. And we're saying the best protection for the employer is to protect the workers. If, in fact, we pass this, or even with current OSHA standards, but if we have it more stronger in light of COVID-19, that would be even better. And if the employer implements the provisions of it, that is his best protection, because it will protect people from getting sick in the first place, as well as not just employees, but customers or anyone who comes in contact with his business as well. So that's part of our fight now, because I've said like 99% of this bill the Republicans have voted for before. It's not anything contrary to what they have supported in the past, except the OSHA, the expanded OSHA provision. I yield now to the distinguished president of AFSCME, Mr. Saunders.
Let me just say this and be very clear about this. Our everyday heroes, workers who are putting their lives on the line every single day, going home to their families concerned about spreading the virus, need to be guaranteed a safe and healthy workplace, period. They need to be guaranteed the proper equipment, the gowns and the masks and the gloves to continue to do their jobs. Right now, federal OSHA has really fallen flat on its face as far as providing and issuing those kinds of guarantees to workers all over the country. And that is abominable. I mean, it is unacceptable. We have people that are risking their lives, as I said. The conversations that I have with our members and public service workers going into harm's way every single day, they do it because they care about their communities. They are providing essential public services, and they need support and help from their federal government. They don't need roadblocks placed in their way, and they need the guarantees that should come with them providing those services, and that means having a healthy and safe work environment, period.
I just might add something that Mr. President said. The performance of OSHA, implementing OSHA has been absolutely shameful. The statistics are unbelievable, how they have ignored workplace violations and have not acted upon them. So not only are the Republicans not accepting stronger language, the administration is not implementing the current language, as the president indicated.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
When I say president, I mean President Saunders.
Oh.
Speaker
Next
Pelosi,
question.
This is Keith Lowry. I'm a paramedic. I'm the paramedic out in Arizona. As I understand it, there's more than 6,000 complaints nationwide about unsafe work conditions related to COVID-19. And on June 9th, Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia told lawmakers that OSHA, which his department oversees, has issued just one citation related to coronavirus. I believe that's unacceptable, and I believe OSHA is being sidelined.
Next question, operator.
There are presently no further questions on the phone lines at this time.
Well, let me thank everyone for participating on the call, but especially thank my good friend and leader, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But let me also give a shout-out once again to our everyday heroes, Renee and Tanisha and Keith, for providing those essential public services, for doing whatever they can to keep our country and our citizens of this country safe. We're going to continue to do that, but here's the deal. We need to fund the front lines. The Senate needs to get off of vacation, come back to Washington, and pass the HEROES Act so we can continue the vital services that every single American depends upon. Thank you very much.
That does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.